T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is our buddy Alan May, Capital Studio Analyst on NBC Sports Washington. He's presented by Dominion Jewelers. Custom engagement rings and jewelry in the heart of Falls Church. They make it beautiful. You make it yours. DominionJewelers.com. Alan about to fly to Vegas. What's up, Alan?
Hey, just me and all the people stuck in line at the airport. That's about it right now, and you guys.
So I was telling the boys, I was just checking your Twitter, and you were ripping one of the referees or linesmen last night, Chris Rooney. Tell us why.
Rooney!
Well, you know what? They do not, you know, you're watching the game, and they talk about making the game safer and better, and that the players need to raise their level of respect to each other. And I just saw so many blatant cheap shots by Vegas in the third period last night. And before even the cheap shots started, I just saw one in front and after another on the Capitals. So they threw the rule book out. Tom Wilson ends up getting cross-checked multiple times, punched in the face multiple times by their fourth-line guy, who to me looked like he was just couldn't handle the game last night, in Ryan Reeves. And I just thought it was pathetic that the ref is standing there watching these. They're watching. They're looking right at the infraction. They don't have their backs turned. They're not looking the other way like the WWE referees that are pure entertainment. These guys are supposed to be professionals, and they weren't doing their job last night. I thought it was absolutely pathetic. And the fact that there's only four of these referees left, you know, I don't know what they were hoping for, triple overtime, but it was so bad. And I love the, I don't want to say that what I want to say, but the Caps power play goal at the end where they stuffed it. And I just thought, you know what, they could have had four more goals. I'd have been the happiest guy because I was getting so pissed off watching that last night.
Hey, Alan, before we get into the particulars of the game, I just have to say, NBC Sports Washington, you guys are doing an amazing job pregame, postgame. What's it like being out there with the fans? Because it's probably tough to even hear yourself and to think what you're going to say because it's so loud and raucous.
You know, thank God for those noise-canceling headphones. We can hear some of it through the mics, but you don't hear it through your own headphones. So it's actually, you know what, the energy out there is amazing. And the Caps fans, they've gotten rid of all that negativity the longer we've gone. Mm-hmm. And actually, from the first day we went out there, it's been a highlight of my career to go out there and have our fans so behind us, so behind the team, and just enjoying all this, soaking it all in. Every one of us is just pumped to be up there and be a part of this amazing run by our team.
You're right. It's a great feeling. Getting back to what you said about the ref and how Vegas, were you surprised that Vegas acted like that, that their players acted like that? I mean, is that normal?
You know what? I'm not surprised, but, you know, Vegas hasn't had to resort to that. You know, they're in a situation that they haven't been in all season long. And, you know, they hadn't lost two in a row in the playoffs. Now here they've lost three in a row in the playoffs. I don't think they lost three in a row all regular season. You know, these guys were on. They were on an emotional high from the very first game they played there, and it was a very emotional game. You know, after the Las Vegas shooting, that team really embraced the community. The community embraced them, and it's been an incredible story. And, you know, that, you know, if I ever wanted another team to win the Stanley Cup other than the Caps, it was, you know, everything that area has gone through. And I just thought, you know, you look at this team, and they've been on the emotional hunt. Now they're getting, you know, they're getting handled pretty easily. The Caps coaching staff and the players are on the same page together, and Vegas doesn't know what hit them right now. And last night, you look at the Caps have five goals, and then they get their sixth. And, you know, it was frustrating for them because anything they do, the Caps have an answer for. So I'm not surprised, but I'm surprised that the refs let it get that far.
Yeah, Alan, the Knights have to be shell-shocked because, as you mentioned, in the playoffs, they swept L.A. They dropped two games to the Sharks. They lost one game to Winnipeg in that series, and that was the first game of that series.
And that, yeah.
Then they win the first game against the Caps, and now they get buzzsawed in three straight, getting outscored 12-5 in that span. So they just have to be scratching their heads like, what do we do next? How do we fend this
team
off?
I guarantee you, they're glad they don't play in the East.
Yeah.
Oh. you know what? The Cavs have all the best players. First of all, were you yelling at the TV last night or at your event that you were at? Because that could, your throat sounds like you took a beat down last night.
I was at the event and I was at the game.
He introduced Fallout Boy before the game.
It was a long day.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was
that's
cool.
Incredible. Good for you. That is a long day for you guys. You know what? But the Caps have all the best players in the series. And, you know, the fact that people weren't picking the Caps going into this, when you have all the best players on the ice, all the top end guys that have been doing this, Ovechkin's proved that every year that he's a goal scorer in hockey. Kuznetsov has a breakout party, but he's by far the most talented player on the ice. He's the most talented Washington Capitals player ever. He's putting it all together. I've been on, not on his back, but I believe that he should be the leading scorer in the league, if not the leading, the second or third, the top handful, no matter what. And he's showing it right now. He's just tearing it up. Then you take Nicholas Backstrom. If Kuznetsov goes out with an injury, the Caps still have the best center, maybe the best all-around center in the league. And you just keep going. TJ Oshie is more proven than every one of their guys, with maybe the exception of James Neal, who gets frustrated in the playoffs and always resort to, you know, the bad penalties that he will take in a playoff game. And the refs actually get sick of that guy. And I think sometimes they just give him penalties they just give him penalties because of who he is sometimes, because they just can't take it. And they look at some of the things that he's pulling out there and they're so ridiculous. And then John Carlson, you know, arguably, you know, a top five defenseman in the league this year, leads the league in points for defensemen in the playoffs. He's setting records right now. Braden Holtby, Marc-Andre Fleury. I would have said they were about even coming into this playoff series, but right now Braden's the far better goalie. And, you know, it's just amazing how the Caps have been able to handle this. You take all their superstars playing at the best of their abilities, and then the game plan they put forth, and all the young guys, all those young left-wingers, Jacob Vrana, Andre Burakovsky, Chandler Stephenson, playing stellar defensive hockey, doing things in the offensive zone, the grind that they're going through, and all six defensemen, the leadership of Brooks Orpik. You can just go on and on and on. And talk about a team coming together at the right time, rising up, raising their level of play. And the Caps, you know, as good as they're playing on the ice, you know, whatever's going on in their heads is amazing right now because they're so dialed in, nothing's bothering them.
Yeah, explain to me your thought process as you're watching the first period unfold, because I'm watching it from home and I'm getting nervous, right? The first 10 minutes, they seem to be dominating play. I don't think there's any question about it. Obviously, they have an open net opportunity there. They're not able to cash in. The Caps are fortunate, right? It's a puck luck on their side, and then they capitalize on their few opportunities, and next thing you know, you blink and you're up 3-0, and then the whole dynamic of the game changes. What were you thinking as you were watching that unfold?
Well, I expected Vegas to come out storming and to make sure that they were getting around the net. They had to get to that lower interior area, but the Caps had something to say about it, and it was a little bit tricky. You know, a lot of the, other than the one chance that hit the post by James Neal, I think may have went off the stick of Niskanen just prior to that. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you know what, the Caps had all five of their guys stacked down there, so you couldn't really, they couldn't get inside the perimeter. They couldn't get to the golden zone, and the Caps had answers there, and they got through that, and you know, this is where the, you know, we keep using the word resiliency. I say heart, everything that they've got in right now, but most importantly, the belief that, you know what, whatever they're going to throw at us, we're going to handle. They might get a goal, but we're coming back. And that's why they are where they are. Self-confidence is a dangerous weapon when you're using it. And every one of those players, the team, there's self-confidence, team confidence. It's magical to me. It's amazing that they've been able to bring this all together. And you know, I hope they can find a way to get that game forward. I'm not putting anything, I'm not casting any doubt on them, but until you see it, you believe it,
right.
Man, they've just been doing all the right things, and they keep proving their doubters wrong.
I was going to say, Alan, we've been talking about it. It's so surreal to try and think about and comprehend what's happening over there at Cap One, and then you see all the people in the streets, and, you know, it looks like a million people in the streets, but they're still one game away. Now, you know Vegas is going to fight at T-Mobile. They're going to fight like hell. And, you know, I'm not saying the Caps are going to lose this series, but anything can happen. The Caps have blown 3-1 series five times. But this is a different team. I get it. But there's still that little part of me that says,
scared.
You can't get too excited yet until they're actually lifting the cup.
Hey, they were all business last night. They never had a letdown. They didn't get cocky in that game. They kept pushing. And, you know, I get so upset when I'm working with the guys and they start to bring up the past numbers. I don't care about any of that. These guys don't care about any of that. And that's the big difference right now is someone will bring up their Eliash Sports numbers and, you know, they go on Google and find another playoff factor in the past from the entire league, and then Cap's past history. These guys weren't on that team. This collection of players, the chemistry that they have, is so strong right now. You know, they got three games to win this, and you know they don't have to. You know, they're going to put their best foot forward, but they're not looking at it. But I know that, you know, doubt will creep in some of the fan base that Vegas has a good push in the first period, but this team is too strong right now. I believe it's impossible. There's no Sidney Crosby in that other team to will his way. You know, one of the best players, maybe probably the best. I've said all year he's the best all-around forward there is. You know, they don't have that on Vegas. They have a bunch of surprise players. Have you noticed Jonathan Marchessault? No, you haven't. And you look at around like William Karlsson, you haven't noticed him. And the Caps have made them very pedestrian. They look like just an average or sub-average player right now because they're taking away all the rice. So the Caps don't have to change their game plan much. You can always tweak it game to game. But they're so dialed in, the coaching staff right now, that as soon as they take a change to the players, everyone's on it. So, you know, the tweaks they made late in the season to the defensive package that they're using right now were perfect for this group of guys. It wasn't working at the start of the year throughout most of the year, and then they all figured out, you know, the goaltender got on the same page. He started to realize this is the shot they're going to give me. I got to make sure I stop them. But, you know, you look at the past, who cares about it now? Because this team's never won a game in the finals. Now they've won three. You've got three guys with game-winning goals, and they're just pushing for the next guy. It doesn't matter who gets it. Just as long as someone gets the next game-winning goal, they've got three games to do it, and that's the focus.
Joined by Alan May, Capital Studio Analyst on NBC Sports Washington. So we were starting to debate amongst ourselves the Conn Smythe Trophy, and I know you might say we're getting ahead of ourselves, but if you had to pick the MVP of this playoff run, do you go with Kuzi or Ovi or even Holtby?
Well, all three of those guys are definitely in consideration. Coming into this, a lot of these guys are going to have to get their whiteout out, and because everyone had Marc-Andre Fleury as a hands-down winner. And you know what? I was saying, not so fast. You just wait. Ovechkin and Kuznetsov have something to say about this. And they had a really good plan going into this series. So I think his name is crossed off the list right now. He's let in 16 goals or 15 goals. 16 goals in four games.
Right.
His save percentage is horrible. I don't care about any of that. He's let in 16 goals. You look at Ovechkin. I take the totality of what he's done from every round. He's been the catalyst to change every series by going to the front of the net and giving the team confidence, and not necessarily himself scoring goals, but by showing guys you got to get greedy, you got to get to the front net, take the cross checks in the back, you know, maybe take a puck in the face, whatever it is, find a rebound, score a goal. And he's been the guy that set the tone. Physically, I look at game two against the Blue Jackets, and he comes out in the third period, third down, Holtby gets back in net. He plays 11 minutes, 11. He never looked tired to me. He stayed out there almost 4 minutes at the end of the game. The Caps tied it. They end up losing, but he came out that period through a hit. He knocked Pierre-Luc Dubois about 30 to 40 feet, sliding all over the ice after the big hit. And Ovi had seven shots. I can't remember the exact total, but on that, he just took over. Every game, he's been a dominator. He won the Tampa series. In the fifth game, he decided, I'm going to be a human battering ram. I'm going to soften these guys up for game six. They pummeled him in game six so hard physically that they came out in game seven. Tampa had nothing left. They were terrified to touch the puck. I look at the Pittsburgh series. He did the same thing, and I got a little bit out of order. But the totality of what he's done has been spectacular. Now, when we come to the finals, Kuzi's putting up these incredible numbers right now, the numbers I believe he should be able to have every single night. And he's bringing his A game. But I love what he's doing in these finals. If you just go in the finals, you give it to Kuzi. But if you go in the totality, it goes to Ovi, and then you got to go to the Braden Holtby. So it's a toss-up. You know what? It's all three of these guys are well deserving. If one or the other, get it, it doesn't matter to me because it's been an incredible team victory. But I tell you what, you tell me that everyone in North America that's ever followed the Caps or follows hockey, you know, what Ovi's doing here with how many times he's been attacked in the media unfairly and past players have hidden beneath his shadow when he's been getting ripped and they haven't done a damn thing in the playoffs. I want to see him win it so bad. That's the guy I want to get it, and I think it'll be great. But more importantly, other than the Conn Smythe, I want him to be able to grab that trophy from Gary Bettman. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll be one of the best celebrations ever when a captain picks
up. Oh, it'll be awesome.
Will you cry? Will you cry if that happens?
Well, I'll put it this way. Last night in the third goal, I got a lump in my throat. And I felt it. It was unbelievable last night. The emotion that building, and to see my old team where they are now, and the passion and the pride that they're playing with, it was overwhelming at times.
Hey, Alan, just a quick question. Would you get a ring? Sometimes the broadcasters get rings, but it might just be the play-by-play voice. I don't know. How does that work?
You know what? I haven't even thought about that. I just want to watch a parade. I want to see Obi lift the cup. I want to see the biggest parade the city's ever seen, a sea of red, and these guys just rolling downtown, and I think it's going to be the best party DC's ever had.
Hey, well, if you play some roulette, you know what color you have to bet on now.
I ain't taking a chance, man. I got other things I'll do while I'm there.
Man, what are you gonna do for 2 days? Your 2 days out there?
I'm gonna go work on my sunburn. I got to get ready for the lake in Minnesota with my kids in July, and get some workouts in and hang out with my crew. There's about 10-12 of us that'll be there, and a lot of big dinners. And you know, it's gonna feel like forever by the time Thursday night rolls around.
Well, I can tell you this: we've known you for a while, and you've been so good to the show. But if they can bring home the cup, and there is a parade, you and I and the rest of the junks are going to have a cocktail.
Absolutely,
yeah, we are. Yeah, we are.
Yes, we are.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Alan. Appreciate it, buddy. Be safe. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Look forward to seeing you guys soon. Bye.
Okay. All right, pal.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Fish Cake, CB, and JP, and we're taking your calls on the Hadid Carpet Clean Lister lines at 800-636-1067. I think Drab is getting exhausted from answering the calls.
Oh, sorry.
Because a typical show.
It's just one of those things. You've got to capitalize.
By the way, if you went through the last 10 years of shows on June 5th,
yeah,
the Caps are out of it.
Yep.
We're not breaking down, you know, Colorado versus the New York Rangers or whatever the heck the matchup would be.
Of course not.
So we would probably be talking about the stupid OTAs because I think the Redskins actually have OTAs. We would mix in, you know, some diarrhea talk because that's always funny.
Right.
And he wouldn't be doing call after call from people that want to have goofy nicknames on the phones. I think that irks.
Drab's got to grind, man.
It irks Drab.
He's got to grind through it. But he can handle it. He's up to the task.
No, I'm sticking up for EB. You guys don't like nicknames, and everyone always calls in with El Diablo. And I'm like, I'm not writing that down.
Nickname. I don't even like Flakes.
Yeah. I don't mind the nicknames.
You know?
It's kind of annoying to me.
We have nicknames for some of our regular callers. Cowboy Todd, Bruce the Hugger.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
those aren't regular callers. Those are staples.
Okay, yeah. Give them the nicknames.
They're borderline show characters.
Okay, fine.
Some guy calls up and says, I'm Blink. Now, the Blink,
hey, Blink is getting shine.
He's getting a lot of run. People are sending me videos of him, like, down in the metro, like, busking. He's singing. People are dancing with him.
By the way, I think
Channel 9 interviewed him.
Outside the arena, there's so many people busking. One guy was playing a steel drum. Right. Another guy was banging on 100 pickle jars or pickle containers.
Okay, that's a new term for
me. You know what else they're doing?
What
they're grasping.
Grasping. Right. It's people who are playing an instrument.
And they want your money.
And they've got their open guitar case or a pickle jar, and they want you to throw a few bucks in
Street performance.
Street performance.
I wasn't familiar with that term until yesterday.
By the way, yesterday, before Fall Out Boy, after they performed, I was about, I don't know, this close to the Stanley Cup. It went right by me in the crate that it travels in, and then it was put up on stage for some TV hits, and it was there during the Fall Out Boy performance. It's awesome to see in person. And I just kind of got a glance of it. But then I saw it out on the stage.
There's no other inanimate object.
It's amazing.
That just moves people like that in the sports world. Oh, there's nothing else.
And during
green jacket.
During the TV hit, I think it was NHL Network doing a TV hit. The guy, the Ken doll, he was dreamy. He had a dreamy girlfriend, too.
Who's this?
The male anchor for NHL Network.
He does football, too. I'm forgetting his last name.
There's a guy and a woman.
Liam something?
I don't know what his name was.
Guy's gray hair?
No. This guy was, like, probably mid-30s, chiseled.
Oh, I know.
He looked like a male model. But the bottom line
like
is
me?
He almost looked like you. He almost knocked the Stanley Cup off of the table.
Off of, like, the platform.
He almost pummeled the Stanley Cup.
Can you imagine?
It was a close call.
You know what I've noticed with the Stanley Cup Finals and Washington being one game away from winning it all?
Yeah. Wait a minute. You watched it because you did your typical troll bit and said that you're going to be watching Faraday.
No. I said the game was over. Go change it. Change the channel.
Got
watch
it.
Something a little more interesting.
I like that, by the way.
At what score did you say that?
3-0.
Yep.
But the Stanley Cup Finals brings out all of the graspers and hustlers out of nowhere. I mean, it's like a hurricane of hustlers with T-shirts.
Right.
The ticket game, people's cap songs.
Right up front at near the barrier for Fall Out Boy, there was a brother who had the biggest cooler I've ever seen. With the
holding waters,
selling waters and Gatorades, and he was doing a brisk business.
We missed out on the T-shirt game.
I mean, T-shirts are just hot right now.
Because your guy
so many Caps T-shirts.
Your guy Nate from Barstool,
yeah.
I believe he's the R year guy.
That's his bit. And you know what? I bet he's selling a boatload of T-shirts.
So many.
I bought 5 of them. I know he's selling
a bunch. You bought 5?
I bought one for everybody in the family.
Can we play the donkey sound effect?
Sure.
That's deserved.
What were they, $25?
$25. Wow. I told you.
I know, you're going to spend $2,000.
I'm going to spend my entire ratings bonus on merchandise.
We should have had a cap shirt.
Just buy me something then.
What are those like red touristy shirts that like people get, like the whole family, like... Like, who number one, who number two?
You know, thing
like,
one, thing,
thing
two.
Thing one, thing
yeah,
two.
Yeah, it's like
thing.
Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, you know who had those? The killer family in California.
The Turpins?
Yeah, the Turpins. they went to Disney World with
that's
that.
That's a hurting
yeah.
look.
Yeah.
Now, we don't all wear them together at the same time. That's a real weird, wacky bit. But I wore mine yesterday.
I just gave my kids the size shirt yesterday.
Yeah, because that was so bad. Mine to Grant. Better.
Grant right. Paulson has mine.
All right, let's go. Let me see. Let's go to Dupre. Is that how you say it?
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing great. Excited?
Good morning, junkies.
What's up?
Oh, I'm very excited. I went to the doctor yesterday, and I was diagnosed with Caps fever.
Nice.
That's a good bit. I like it.
Yes, I'm so excited. I'm excited for the area, the past history. Go Ovi, Becky, Kuzi, DSC. All of you guys.
All right, let me ask you a question.
I'm really excited.
Are you a new Caps fan, or have you been there for a while?
No, actually, I'm a new Caps fan and hockey fan. I'm usually a sports junkie in the area of football and basketball.
Right.
I actually got a chance to experience this when the Ravens won the Super Bowl.
Right.
I was there. I was in the locker room. I took a picture with the Lombardi Trophy.
Nice.
Because I knew one of the players' mom. So, I mean, like, when they were chatting the, you know, song, I'm not a singer, but I'm just excited. So, because of the past history and what they're doing this year, I became a hockey fan.
Nice.
Very cool.
Nice. Well, welcome aboard. There's no cap snobbery
Jump
here.
On the bandwagon.
Absolutely.
You're always welcome.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
But I agree with you guys. You know, we're excited and everything, but let's just... You know,
one more.
Take a step back. Because,
we got one more.
Yeah, they have one more. And then we can celebrate and hopefully.
What are we going to do?
You know,
thank you, Dupre. Thank you.
Are
we going to broadcast from, if there is a parade, are we going to broadcast? I mean, there will be. Will we broadcast from there?
I'm sure wondering if we're going to have a float. We are the flagship station. Would 106.7
the
Fan have
a float? Oh, Mississippi
float.
Junkies float.
That'd be awesome. We'll do the Queen Wave.
Yeah.
Oh,
that'd be so great.
I got my Queen Wave down, man. I got it.
Yeah. Be like sitting on a toilet. Porky pigging.
Donkeys hey, all over the place.
Smiles.
We should have a live rendition of Get That Stanley. Maybe they get the DeMatha band in again.
I would love to, but you guys have shunned the song. It's just so annoying.
It's in queue, waiting for Friday morning.
I mean, I don't think you've listened to us at all when we've given you our rationale.
Play it at the end if they win. All right,
right.
I get it.
We're completely responsible.
You guys are the push. You guys are the impetus.
It's lost its luster because we haven't mentioned it, but Valdez and I are responsible for this captain just as much as Oshi.
I like this bit.
Yes. The other dog.
We should have our own float.
We started this back in April.
You guys should be the tip of the spear
which
at the parade.
Don't jinx it by playing
We're not
Get
playing
that
Get That Stanley. It's failed in the past.
There is a correlation.
And our Venmos are open if you'd like to donate.
Give out the addresses.
Donate for what?
Donate for... you know,
Now you're trying to turn that into free money.
They're responsible for the Caps run.
We'll invest into our next project.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever that
the project
is.
Of not playing something. The project of not doing something is a brilliant project.
Yeah, this fall, we're not going to play HTTR at all so that the Redskins can go on a Super Bowl run.
Maybe we should do that. That's a good bet.
I would love it. I hate that song. God, I hate that song. Does the Matchbox right there in Chinatown still have the Get That Stanley sign up?
Yes, they did as of like last week.
It's so great.
I'm guessing they haven't ripped it down.
That's awesome.
Wonder where they got that from. Joe, we at least have to play.
At
least have to play the sad HTTR during the season.
Maybe.
That makes me laugh.
We will.
Joe, are you there? I thought I punched him up. All right. There's something going on with him. See if you can figure him out.
Joe calling from Ocean City.
Let's go to Lawrence, D.C. Lawrence, what's up, man? You're all in the Giants.
Hey, what's going on, Junkies, man? First time calling, man. Watching you guys talk about the Caps. I'm pretty psyched. Not even a hockey fan, sports fan, Washington, D.C. Just waiting for this feeling, you know.
Right.
It's feeling good. I don't know anything about hockey. You understand what I'm saying? I just found out what icing was yesterday.
Right.
All right, hold on. Nick, can you name three current Capitals players?
Oshie, man, Pay, Smith Pay, man, and Koontz, what's his name,
Koontz, right,
none of that matters, man, it's the feeling that's in the air, you understand,
right.
I'm talking about this bandwagon going down Georgia Avenue, right down to Capital One Arena,
right.
All this sea of red, and this victory that's in the air, you guys talk about it, you all make it happen. I'm happy this morning, man. I've been waiting 25 years to have this feeling again, man, since the Redskins won a Super Bowl. You guys talk about it. You know about it. I'm just excited about
it. When did you jump on, Lawrence?
I didn't even jump on, man. I'm just watching hockey, like, for the first time, after they beat Tampa Bay, man.
Right. He's late to the party.
What about your buddies? Are you getting your buddies into it?
Let me tell you how I got introduced to hockey, man. My buddy, man, we were 14 years old. His grandfather bought him one of those foosball-type hockey games.
Right.
I was in junior high school, right? And the puck used to always fly off the porch. We could never keep up with the puck. So that's my first introduction
like real
to hockey.
It's hard to track the puck, Lawrence.
Hey, man, I can't even follow it on my TV, man. I'm all 62 years old. I'm trying to watch the game, and I can't even keep. Look, all I know is when the horn goes off, the Caps win.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Are you kind of getting more familiar with the rules? I mean, do you understand the game?
He just learned icing yesterday.
What I understand about the game is the puck got to go into the net. The right. horn has to go off.
Right.
And Oshie got to go take a knee and throw his hand up like a fist. That's right. what I know about hockey. Right.
Hey, that's enough. All right, well, that's all you need, man.
Keep watching it,
buddy. Thank you, Lawrence. Appreciate you,
take
buddy.
Take care, man. Later.
All right, buddy. God, man, is this not galvanizing?
It really is.
It's awesome. Yeah. And the overhead shots are unbelievable to me. When they just see the crowds filling the streets all the way around the arena.
No, it's incredible.
Deep.
Like, can somebody look up what are the – and we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I'm sorry. Just give me a minute. There's no jinx. We're either going to win or we're not.
Hmm.
If there's a parade in 91, I guess it was technically 92, what was the attendance level of that parade? Will we approach it with the Caps?
We have to do some research on that.
Because I feel like –
there's so many
every
people out there.
Every local has just embraced them.
Yeah.
Also, population has grown.
Sure.
So you have a bigger population, and it's also a population that's been starving for a winner.
Starving for a winner.
It wouldn't matter.
Social media
it's the
hype.
Caps. To me, it wouldn't matter. We would have the same feeling if it was the Wizards, if it was the Nats. If it was the Redskins would be times 10. That would be. Just
I don't think the parade will be 10 times smaller than a
Super Bowl. No, but I'm just saying that the
I think it's
going to
approach the same numbers.
But look, so many people are like Lawrence have jumped aboard just in the last week.
Just think
and
about
half.
It.
Even Charlie Casserly, he came on the show and said he didn't watch one game
until
the Stanley Cup final.
There are a ton of everyone's a fan of the NFL. It's just the biggest sport in the world around here, in this country. But not everybody necessarily is an NHL fan. But everyone around here, unless you already have some weird tie or like you're a fan for 20 minutes like Bryce, unless you have some sort of weird tie, you're all jumping on the bandwagon. It's not like you have a loyalty to the Cowboys,
right.
or you have a loyalty to the Giants, or loyalty to the Eagles. None of that really exists around here. I mean, maybe a couple people, a couple Pens fans here, maybe a couple Sabres fans. But for the most part, if you're a sports fan around here, you're going to jump on the
Cavs. People are getting swept up in it.
Yeah,
they absolutely
you don't
are.
Have some other loyalties, really.
Yeah.
Look, part of it's about the Caps, but most of it's about winning. Look at the other caller, the woman who called in, who went to the Ravens thing, that wasn't a hockey fan. All of a sudden, the team's starting to win.
No, it's 100% about winning. 100%. Everybody likes a winner. Oh, everyone wants to be a part of it. Let's go to Cowboy. Speaking of nicknames.
I want
Cowboy
people that want to win.
I keep getting texts from Cowboy Todd, pregame texts every game.
Keep it up. Don't stop. Whatever you're doing, don't stop.
I can. I got my little emoji. I got a text case.
By the way, stop for a second. Stop. Let me explain the emoji that Cowboy Todd sends to me. I believe it's a brother skating on the ice wearing a Washington Nationals hat, blasting a puck through the net like he's scoring a goal in hockey. It's the weirdest emoji I've ever seen. I don't know why he sends it. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, ever since I started texting you, there's a listener that listens to y'all and follows me on Twitter, at CowboyTodVA, if you want to follow me. He sends me that emoji when we started winning against Tampa Bay, and he's never quit. We never stopped. It's my little DSP emoji. We're going okay with it all the way.
By the way, where is Tampa Bay located, Cowboy Todd? Quick geography quiz.
That'd be definitely Florida, down there in Tampa.
Correct. Well done, Cowboy.
But it's definitely been a great – I've had more victory buns than I've had in a while. It's been awesome. We need one more win, which we got it Thursday.
Right.
It's all the way.
Did you actually get victory buns last night?
When I came home, I've been listening to it on the radio. And when I get home, I wake her up and we just go to town. It's been great.
I'm sure she loves that.
So she looks forward to that.
She has to sleep.
Oh, I text her and say, get ready. If she don't respond, I know she's sleeping. 11 o'clock all the time.
She's the biggest Vegas fan in D.C.
Yeah, she is.
Cowboy, why don't you come down to the watch party on Thursday?
That's because I'm working. I can't afford to take off.
Got to make that money.
I'm buying a house. Can't do it.
All right, thank you, Cowboy. Keep it up. Whatever
you're
doing,
responsible.
Keep it up.
It's taken him 35 years to get responsible.
Doesn't he have like 6 kids? How come I never hear him?
Four.
How come you never hear him referencing any of the kids like in his life? Are there any of them in his life?
No, I think he's got maybe 3 stepkids from the current wife.
Forget about the stepkids. I'm talking about the ones biological.
Those ones, I'm not
sure.
He's
got Hunter. Hunter, you always talk about Hunter.
Hunter. Hunter's probably in college.
Hunter's got to be 20s.
He's probably not in college, let's be honest.
He's like his dad.
Jordan.
College years. College age.
College age. Right.
Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is Mike Rupp. He played 11 years in the NHL, Stanley Cup champ. You can now watch NHL Network's Mike Rupp on NHL Tonight before and after each Stanley Cup final game. Visit NHLNetwork.com for your local channel listings. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well, fellas. How you guys doing?
Man, doing
everybody's
great.
Pumped.
I don't know how. I was watching you yesterday, the pregame, when all the crowds behind you were starting to gather. Man, it must have been hard for you to hear. Your earpieces must be really good because I could barely hear you watching it. Must have been a crazy crowd back there.
Yeah, it's loud. The fans are passionate. It's all good because the fans of this team are in good moods because of the last 2 games, so we don't have any knuckleheads out there, just fans being loud, yelling "Go Caps!" But it wasn't too bad. We got it turned up. We got IFBs in both ears, so we've got it cranked up pretty good, and it just adds to the great atmosphere here in DC.
What was your thought on this series going in before Game One?
Coming into the series, I couldn't really pick a winner in my head. I didn't know which way it would go. I just thought that, Vegas has been a different animal for any team to handle as far as, they have this during the regular season and for the first 3 rounds of the playoffs, kind of this unorthodox way that they're built and the way they play. And they've been very tough for teams to kind of figure out. I thought that would pose a problem for the Caps, but I've also noticed in the playoffs that the Caps have really hit stride, obviously, at the right time of the year, but they've been a really slippery one to get a hold of, too, because when you go into the playoffs, and we know about them dropping the first 2 games against Columbus and then catching stride, and then the way they played against the Penguins, and then, I thought that they'd be out, they'd be, physically challenged as far as the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they were, the Caps were the much more physical team in that series. So they've been kind of adjusting to every team they've played against, and all the adjustments have worked, and they did the same thing so far in the series.
Hey, stay on hold for a second, okay? You got a buzz on your phone. We're going to see if we can fix that. It's hard to concentrate and actually focus on what he's saying.
Is that a landline or is that a...
I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's the air conditioners in a cheap hotel room.
No, I think it's the patch because the NHL network is patching him through to us.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
so we're trying to get his direct line.
He's probably staying in a silly hotel. If the NHL network's putting him up. Well, they're not putting him up in
we,
some...
We know where Roenick was staying. That's a nice place.
It is a nice spot.
Probably the same hotel.
Yep. Knows?
I'm bitter. This guy from the 212 sending me a text saying...
Well, what's he saying?
He's saying, I'm not a fan. I'm definitely, at best, a bandwagon fan. Oh, well, whatever.
What's wrong with that? You're not a fan?
Who cares what his definition is? I don't care.
You're wearing a jersey and a hat. You're an effing fan.
He says I'm a bandwagoner.
Well, yeah, you are. So what?
Not really a bandwagoner for the...
I would say you're a fan, but you're not a hardcore fan.
That's
true. You're not staying up for the games every
year.
Game.
Jason's big in the Olympics when they come around.
You're
and
a fan, and you get even more pumped up when it's playoff time.
I mean,
I'm not going to compare myself to you. You're a true fan because you watch.
Right.
You watch
Caps
pretty much every night.
Yeah. You're a fan if you're following it. Are you happy that they're winning?
Yes.
You're a fan.
Do I get bitter when they lose? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the regular season is not as meaningful. I get it. Same thing. I'm the same way.
In the regular season, do you see thousands of people on the streets like they are last night?
Absolutely.
But those people are still fans.
Mike, are you there? That's much better.
I'm here. Listen, this is a perfect segue to making adjustments in the series, man. You guys made an adjustment. You pivoted just like the Caps did in the series.
We know how to do the cycle.
That's perfect.
What's been the best adjustment that you've noticed?
One of the best adjustments I've noticed in the series is one where I feel like the Caps really made a... Listen, they're coming in the series against Marc-Andre Fleury, who they know really well over the years, and don't generally have good memories of Marc-Andre Fleury. And Marc-Andre Fleury was playing, and, well, hold on. At the end of his career, he'll be a Hall of Famer. And he has been playing the best hockey of his career in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So he was on pace to be setting save percentage records in the playoffs. Some things that these goaltenders haven't touched in 30 years. And, you know, he was that good. So they come into the series here, and you see this team, Marc-Andre Fleury's being very aggressive. He's coming out challenging shots, which when goalies are feeling it, they do that more. And they start moving the puck east-west, side to side a little bit, the Caps did. And by doing that, I think now you had Marc-Andre Fleury guessing a little bit because he's making his reads, but the Caps are passing up some shots early on in the series and making those east-west passes. Now Marc-Andre Fleury probably adjusts a little bit. He tries to play a little bit differently, maybe tried not to be so aggressive. And now they're still scoring goals, snapping them past them. So I thought that they'd done a good job of kind of cracking the code on Marc-Andre Fleury, and that's been one of the biggest things.
Are the Caps that much better than the teams that Vegas beat in the Western Conference playoffs? You know, the Kings, the Sharks, and the Winnipeg Jets. What are they doing differently that those three teams couldn't?
Well, you know what? When you look at the personnel, we always hear the cliche: your best player's got to be your best players. And in the salary cap world, which is the way teams are built, your highest paid players need to be your best played or best players at certain times, and that's the Caps. I mean, right now you've got Ovi, Kuzi, Holtz, John Carlson, TJ Oshie. Those guys are if you took a pulse of the top 10 players, well, let's say top 5 players in this series. I mean, those 5 guys are all Caps.
Right.
In the top 5.
Right.
And that's huge. But then when you look at the secondary players, I mean, look at what Devontae Smith-Pelly's doing.
Amazing.
You look at Lars Eller. Lars Eller's been unbelievable. And you know, in game three, I know in game two he had the big, well, actually, back it up to game one, he had the big miss. And then he said 99 times out of 100, I get that. In game two, Lars Eller has a goal to assist. In game three, he doesn't make the score sheet with any points, but he leads the team in forward minutes played and is a beast with the intangibles in the game. Tom Wilson's been unbelievable. Brett Connolly in the playoff. I mean, you're literally just rambling off. Basically, every single player is playing. Some of them are playing, and they're exceeding their expectations. So, should we be surprised this is happening? No, because you've got 18 guys in any given night, and any of those 18 have positioned themselves, and the coaching staff has positioned them to be the difference makers.
Mike, did you have a player during your playing days that did the same sort of thing that Devontae Smith-Pelly is doing, upping his game during the playoffs? He had 7 goals in 75 regular season games, 6 goals in the 23-game playoff run so far for the Caps.
Yeah, you know what? And this isn't the first year that he's done that. He's been this since he played junior hockey. He's been a playoff performer. And when guys do that, you know, there's certain things. The playoffs are different, and I think it's a platform for players like Devontae Smith-Pelly to play the game hard. They play a simple brand. What does that mean? Does playing a simple brand mean he doesn't have skill? Absolutely not. I mean, we've seen some of the goals he scored. Mm-hmm. His hands are really nice. He can make the plays, but sometimes you've got to manufacture some offense, and sometimes that's just simply going into that hard. With your stick on the ice and be willing and able to get engaged in a battle to win a battle and score a goal, and he's been doing that as well. You know, I just think that a player over the years in the hockey world, everybody thought of Claude Lemieux. Claude Lemieux was a guy who never really lit it up in the regular season, but he was on fire in the postseason. If I'm not mistaken, I think in 95 he was the Devils' Conn Smythe winner and for most valuable player in the playoffs. And those type of guys, that's what playoffs are made of. And Devontae Smith-Pelly has that intangible.
Mike, you played with some pretty good teams. You know, you mentioned the Devils and the Rangers and the Penguins. And I don't know how many playoff series you were in or if you were ever down 3-1, but if you ever were down 3-1, what are the Vegas Knights players thinking right now, getting on their plane, going back to Vegas down 3-1? Even though they got a home game, what are they thinking?
Yeah, I don't think I was ever necessarily down 3-1, but on the other side of it, I've been up 3-1 and end up losing the series in 7. And it's not necessarily got finals, but in the first round against Tampa Bay Lightning when I was in Pittsburgh. And it's tricky because, you know, if I'm in Vegas and if I'm on that team or if I'm a coach, I'm sitting there, you know, you have one game right now that you're focused on, which is the obvious. That's the cliche. We're going to take it one game at a time. But listen, if you win game 5, it makes the series obviously 3-2. So now you're going game 6 in Washington, and you're just looking at it, and everything shifts because you got to get in the mindset of the team that's leading the series too. And that was, the story I'm telling you, and Pittsburgh was the team that I was on, and so they win a game to make it 3-2, and you're like, meh, okay, well, yeah, that's fine, and you know we're still up. They still got to win 2 games, but then you're sitting there, and human nature takes over, and you start thinking about, oh my gosh, if they win this next game, they force a game 7, and game 7s are kind of that taboo, anything can happen. So it really puts a lot of pressure. If Vegas just takes game 5, just worry about game 5. You've got it at home. You've got 2 of the next 3 at home. Just focus on game 5. And if they win game 5, all the pressure shifts to Wash, I believe. I felt it. And you know that if you lose game 6, just going to game 7, and that's kind of a roll of the dice, and that's at least what you feel like. So I think Vegas, they're not done yet. I think Wash has some work to do, and they've handled it really well up to this point.
How about the block shot stat last night, 24-8? I don't know what the total number is. We've blocked a ton of shots, but I'm guessing a lot more than them, but 24-8 that's a huge discrepancy.
Yeah, it is. It is, and they've been that's been the Washington's MO all playoff series long. They're doing whatever it takes, and we've seen Ovi doing it on a consistent basis. You know, one of the great shots from last night's game I saw, it may have been on the power play for the Golden Knights, but Brooks Orpik, he gets down really low. His face is about, I don't know, 2.5 feet, 3 feet off the ice, just getting down low, taking away the low ice, sticking his face out, and looking. It just looks like his teeth are in line with the passing lane for this puck, and he's not budging. He'll play chicken all day long, and he's going to hang in there because, you know what, it's Stanley Cup playoffs, and if it means taking one off the face, he's going to take one off the face to make sure it doesn't get in the back of his net, and that's what this team's paid a price to do.
What are you going to do for 2 days in Vegas? What do you like to do out there?
Oh, it's hot out there. Today's just a travel day, so I'm not going to really get in there till later, and then we got a show that we take care of, and then, man, it's just going out there and seeing the craziness in Vegas and just walking around and dinner, and it's just a different world out there. But you got to give these players a lot of credit. These guys are, they're focused, and that stuff for the fans to enjoy, and the players are looking at the task at hand.
Wanted to ask you something different as we talked to Mike Rupp from the NHL Network. After the game, I watched some of the presser, and Vegas's coach, to me, almost seemed delusional. I don't know if he truly believed it, because he said that their power play was great. They were 0-for. He said that Fleury was great. He gave up a bunch of goals. Maybe he's just trying to pump up his team. What was your take on his press conference after the game?
Well, I will actually say that I think that the funny thing about sports and hockey in general is the score doesn't always tell the story. And Washington, listen, none of this takes away anything the Caps did. The Caps were awesome. The players were awesome. And you know what? At the end of the day, if you get seven scoring chances or six scoring chances and you convert on three of them, that means you're doing something right. And that's what Washington was doing early on in that game. But when you look at the Vegas team, they lose game three to one. Vegas really didn't have any business being in that game. That game could have been 10-1, and so they didn't really play a good game in game three. Vegas loses game four 6-2. They probably deserved better. They played a much better game, and they had 71 shot attempts in the game. So we talk about 24 block shots from the Caps. You got to, shot attempts that in. The 24 of them are getting blocked, and there was like another 18 or whatever that were missed shots. So that's missing the net by Vegas, and then they had about 30 shots on top of that. So they were creating offense. Marc-Andre Fleury wasn't terrible, which is funny to say when there's six goals against you. But it was just the clutch playing of the Caps is what the difference was, because early on in that game, we all know about the James Neal miss. They had a bunch of posts. Vegas came out and played exactly how they wanted to come out, but all it took was one chance at the other end. TJ Oshie, from skate to his stick, puts in the net. Now then it's 2-0 after that. Then it's 3-0, and that's all she wrote. This team's way too good, Washington. They're not going to let you back in the game, and that's where the game was won.
Did you know all along they were this good, the Caps?
No. Yeah. No, I didn't. I knew skill-wise, I knew they could drop six on you at any point. Mm-hmm. But they don't need to drop six on you, and they're still winning. They're defending. They're playing hard, always playing complete game. TJ Oshie's an absolute beast, and I love it because his regular season wasn't very good. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about, is just show up at the right time, and he is. I mean, we talked about all those players that are having career years, but they're a team that, which way do you want to play? Do you want to slug it out? We can slug it out with you. You want to go skill? I'm pretty sure we got the guys you can go skill with you. If you want a 1-0 game, we got Braden Holtby back there, and he's been Vezina-like. They have no way of not beating you, and that's what's impressed me the most.
Mike, it's been great talking to you. It's Mike Rupp. Right. You can watch
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate
NHL
it.
NHL tonight, before and after each Stanley Cup final game. You can visit NHLnetwork.com for your local channel listings.
Very cool.
Thanks,
Thank
guys.
You.
Have okay, fun buddy. Out there, man.
The Capitals have 86. The Golden Knights have 42.
Yeah.
More than double block shots.
Why
for the
are you talking over Blink? Not Blink 182. This is Blink. Can we crank it up again?
So we holding up the Stanley.
He was performing live last night.
I saw him doing it like in the bowels of the metro.
It's,
I think
it's the funniest video ever. Drab retweeted it of him on the street with like a portable amplifier, doing his song, singing it in the streets.
Do you know what it's like to ride a winning wave? I was Grant Paulson joins us here in studio.
What's up,
during
Jeeps?
The regular season, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me. A Caps game on NBC Sports Washington gets anywhere between a 1 and a 2, let's say, ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Last night had a 22.9.
Oh, look at that. Look at them numbers.
What are you guys going to do with your ratings bonus?
I'd be sized to get a 22.9.
I'll be paying for a New York university with my daughter's going.
You're probably going to get a 22.9 in a couple of days at some point.
I hope
it's
so.
Crazy.
Great.
I mean, it is just
And it's just growing
crazy.
Each game, because I think game 7 against Tampa was the highest rated ever,
right.
And it's just growing and growing. You're there on the streets for Caps face-off and Caps overtime. I mean, can you believe what you're seeing?
No.
I remember you talking to me during the regular season about tweets for Caps overtime.
There wasn't a whole lot of volume on those tweets coming my way in October and November after some early season losses when they were 10-9-1, KC.
Yeah, probably during the road trip to, I believe, Nashville and Colorado. That double dip was not very good.
I did get some tweets making fun of me when I chose to spend my bachelor party following the Capitals around Raleigh. Those people are tweeting me now saying it was a pretty good decision.
Yeah, exactly.
A couple things. So first of all, I can't believe it, JP. This is the dream, right? I mean, this is 30 years of existence in this town, nothing like this. But I've seen these pictures.
Hey, has Danny admitted that after, if the Caps do win, his whole shtick, like you said, he's going to have to come up with a new shtick.
He's
like
going to have
to never have good things.
He's going to have to develop a whole new character.
Really, he's got to rebrand.
brand is we can't have good things.
Rebrand, right. Danny.
His brand is that we're cursed and everything's a jinx.
Right.
So he's going to have to go back to the drawing board, which I'm excited about. But no, I you see this for every other town. And you see the pictures and the videos and the jubilation and the giddiness. And I've always wondered what it would feel like.
Yeah.
It feels really good.
It feels very good.
I could get used to it. But I came in here, Drabby said, you got to mention this. So I was there for Cakes's rally yesterday.
Okay.
And first of all, he put on a clinic.
He did?
Oh, my gosh.
Did he kill it?
Cakes is made
to do
that. He loves the stage. He's like always loved the stage.
When we would do the concerts, and I heard you mention this, and I'll let you say it in your own words, but he does an angry man kind of stalking persona. When he would like introduce Papa Roach or those bands, he turns into rock star.
He was a different character than I've seen before. So first of all, me and CK walk over there because we're like, we got to see what Cakes is up to. So we go over there and they introduce Cakes. And at first, we're like, oh, that's someone else's
talking. What time is this? Because Fall Out Boy
was
like
a little bit
six.
Before 5:30.
Okay.
And we're like, oh, someone else is talking. And it took us literally, I don't know, 10 seconds of Cakes talking to realize it was even him. He was doing the weirdest voice in the world. So that's why he has no voice.
He was doing something like this.
Right. I mean, it was.
Why were you doing that?
I don't know.
Do you have audio of it?
It's nothing that I do intentionally. I just think when I get up on stage in front of a ton of people, that's just
he gets
that's,
what guy,
that's like the zone I get into
the best part,
for whatever reason.
So the best part was, just completely unrelated to anything going on that night, he just starts trolling the Penguins, which
right.
I love. So he's like, do you see any Penguins fans here? Does anyone see a Penguins fan? I mean, just playing
just
to his audience.
To
that just came
just,
to me.
You know what you
because,
were?
No, but it came to me because we're...
There's got
to
be a reason.
Well, no, here's why. Because Fall Out Boy is performing on the Portrait Gallery steps. And over the last 10 or 12 years, whenever the Pens win here, or especially have a
got
big
it.
Playoff win... They take over the steps. They taunt Caps fans as they're walking to the Metro.
True.
They jone on Caps fans. And all of that just, I was there on the steps and it just came to me. I was just like, I'm going with it.
Guy, you know what you're doing?
You're
playing for your audience.
Yeah, exactly.
You got a pop on that. And he's a rock star coming out and going, Detroit is my favorite city. People went nuts.
Here's but, Cakes. We do have a little
bit. You're doing it in the arena. You're doing it in the streets. You're doing it at home. You're doing it at the bars. Keep it up. The Caps need the support, and I can feel it all the way from the back, all the way up here in the front. We need that tonight. Thank you, guys.
That so, was kind of normal voice.
Right, but that was, I think, a little
that
bit later,
later
on.
That was as my voice is losing
his
some of its
first,
timber.
So, I mean, and ask CK at some point. CK was like, I don't think it's Cakes. I was like, no, there he is. That's him.
Yeah.
That's definitely him.
Yeah.
And your first, like, entry into the I'm Cakes from the Junkies. By
right.
the way.
bravo on getting 6 to 10 a.m. And he mentioned the whole lineup.
I did. I
there was a Grant Danny reference. I was like, what a company guy.
I would have botched that.
I did the whole lineup.
Whole lineup. You were you were made for what you did yesterday.
No, and nobody threw anything at you?
Nope.
No crickets?
No, you got a pop.
I got a pop.
Right away.
Said, I was playing to the base.
He wasted no time.
I knew that I could read the room. I knew the crowd.
Right.
I'm Johnny Cakes Orville from the Junkies, and the Penguins suck.
Pretty much. That's a good way to couch it. Yeah. That's awesome, man.
My wife said the same thing, though. Because there were a couple of our listeners who were tweeting video of Cakes doing the hype job. And she said, that doesn't sound like him. And I actually said, I think it's the other guy. But then when they're, because you said you were doing it with Brady,
right?
So I thought it was the other guy.
Who is that?
By the way, I felt bad because the first bit, the one you're talking about, like he came out and said like 10 words. And then I just completely steamrolled him and didn't like, it was supposed to be like teamwork going back and forth, you know, to hype up the crowd.
Ball hog.
Yeah, I ball hogged.
Got it.
I took the ball and I ran with it. I just keep
kind of like you do on the show every morning.
Sometimes.
Every person in that audience noticed that that guy shouldn't have been on stage. It was exceptionally awkward because he came out and Cakes was like, at some point he said he jumped in to say something and Cakes just heard him.
I told you, steamrolled him. I ran over him like he's in the middle of the street.
He started a let's go and you were like, yeah,
I was just in a zone.
You were zoned in. That's a good way to put it. But at one point he did, he jumped in and he's like, and I just want to say, and Cakes is like, he just wants to say. And he finished his sentence. You killed it. I'm serious.
No, it was fun. I was pumped.
I
was glad to do it. I was glad to bring out Fallout Boy. I mean, the crowd, it was amazing to see, like, I got there at 3:30, and then, you know, it was 50 people there. And then by 5 o'clock, there were 3,000 people there. And then by 6 o'clock, when Fall Out Boy took the stage, there were like 12,000 people in the street. It was crazy. It was amazing to see.
Now, do you have a preference, like Jason, like you're going to really pick your spot here, and you want them to lose game 5?
I didn't say that.
That's what you want.
I'm not rooting against them.
No, but you want them to lose game 5 so they could skate the cup here.
I think it would be really cool if they could skate around the
It would be nice in a perfect world, but you want to mess around and give them a game?
Well, in a perfect world,
a little bit, in a perfect world, they win game seven
for us because we extend the drama and just keep getting those 22.9.
You're looking at it from money perspective. He's looking at it from like a fandom thing.
I'm looking at it
I just want him to win. I want him to bury
either way,
him
it doesn't matter.
Thursday.
I agree with
It'd
that.
It'd be pretty cool to look forward to something this weekend.
Nah, I'm not interested in being anxious and uptight and potentially heartbroken.
I know
again.
You're not.
3-2, I start to get anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, because at that point, you're a bad bounce away from the series being even.
Then you start going down all the stats of all the times they've blown.
I'm just telling you, I'm willing to risk that anxiety.
You guys want to see my move last night when I knew the game was over?
Yeah.
I stood up and I did the old, is it Gilbert Brown, the gravedigger? I did this.
Oh, yeah.
dug some dirt. And then I scooped and I dug some dirt. What does your daughter do?
She's right next to you. She just thinks you're an idiot.
Yeah, she totally thinks I'm an idiot.
I'll tell you what, Cakes, you've come a long way from when you did the band intro and said a little bit 400 times. I can't remember what awful band that was.
That was the Distillers.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you like to hear the audio? I have it right here.
I mean, you can play it if you want. Just imagine Cakes, professional broadcaster.
We don't have it where he did hype them up, though.
Guys look a little haggard, a little cross-country flight going on, little video shoot action I heard, Brody, that went a little bit wrong.
I want to stab, myself in the eyeball.
Now,
that wasn't
on a stage, to be fair. That was Cakes and I interviewing them in some obscure studio.
No, I get it, but it was still embarrassing.
But it was interviewing them in an awful fashion.
It was like a high school sophomore doing
it. Now, you don't have him actually hyping up Fall Out Boy?
Bish, real quick, by the way,
you're
saying maybe an extra game, do it at home ice. You don't want to end this thing based on the end of the game, how McNabb and how Reeves were acting. To me, that made me just want to put these dudes away.
I can see both sides. I'm just being a little selfish. I'd like to see him do it here. Because I want to see that whole... I know the watch party would be cool, but it won't be anything like clinching at home. The place will go berserko.
I think it's going to happen anyway. It's going to happen.
It won't be the
way.
Same. It can't be the same. But I'm just telling you, that's just the way
It'll
I feel.
It'll be fewer people, but it's still going to be an obscene amount of people.
I mean, eventually, you know, you get a parade and everything, and people are going to go crazy, but...
I mean, how many officially were outside the arena yesterday?
Yeah, have we seen a number on that? I was wondering.
I haven't.
15, 20K?
It looked like a million.
It looked like some kind of crazy march or something.
Yeah, it was crazy.
No, it did. Looked like an inauguration.
I got to imagine.
Except way more fun. I mean, is an inauguration fun?
No, of course not.
They're not going to do a band, though, for that, are they? They should. They should do the whole band.
They should do freaking U2. Anybody on the Mount, yeah, Mount Rushmore of
maybe
rock and roll.
Foo Fighters will be back from Europe by then.
Right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.